2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the first 5 verses. Remember, this is a continuation by the apostle of his discourse on generosity. Don't forget all the previous arguments. He's pulling them together and bringing the best out of the Corinthians for the glory of God. What I want to do in this short discourse is just to show you, remind you, of the way the apostle goes about his business. There's no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints, but of course he is writing. Read between the lines. For I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 1 to 5. Read between the lines. Bear in mind the context. The lawmen are at Corinth. And how do the lawmen go about their business? Paul tells us, they slap you. They smite you. And of course it's still going on. To use Calvin's phrase, the lawmen like the whip of the law, and they whip the lazy ass, the believer, into obedience. In light of that, read this passage again. Paul says, there's no need for me to write to you. I know you're eager, he says. I've been boasting about you to the Macedonians. That stirred them up. But of course, if we come and find that you haven't actually got the money ready, then it's going to look embarrassing for me. Ah, no, not me. For you. For you. So I thought it's necessary to send the brothers on ahead and remind you and just make sure and get it all ready so that when I come, it won't look as though we're forcing you to give, because we're not. You're giving generously of your own accord. The love here, the sweetness of it all. Here is new covenant doctrine, theology in action. Here is the gospel in action. Here is the grace of God in action. And how it contrasts so powerfully with the lawmen, with their rule, and their discipline, and their hierarchy, and their lording it, and their whip, and their slap. Let me just use some of the words that I feel apply to this paragraph. Love. Warmth. Sweetness. Tenderness. Encouragement. Mutual. Getting the best out by putting the best in. The word I would use is grace. Don't just start, he says. Don't just show enthusiasm. Get on with it and finish the job. We met that in chapter 8 and verse 11. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. And of course he goes back to the great motive, the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 8, verse 8, I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Above all, of course, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And this chapter, this passage, this paragraph, chapter 9, verses 1 to 5, is all that worked out in practical detail. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in action. The new covenant in action. and the mutuality, the grace, the love, the sweetness, the tenderness of it, to me is most impressive. I'm looking through a window. That's my illustration over and over again. I'm looking through a window, not at some major doctrine, any major doctrine, no. Not in this paragraph. But I see a love and a tenderness, a gentleness, a kindness, getting the best out and producing the best results. Not by whip and slap and punch and push and hierarchy and shove and pulling rank, but by a gentle, loving Christ-likeness. Of course there's rule. Of course there's discipline. Of course there's command here. Of course there's duty. The law of Christ has all that. But it's marked by sweetness and tenderness, the love of God shed abroad in the mutual care and affection in the hearts of all the brothers and sisters in the ecclesia. I long for it. I've had enough of this treadmill of rule and recipe and disciplinarianism, in the wrong sense, authoritarianism. Yes, we want discipline. We want authority. But we don't want this hierarchical slamming of us down. Are you a pastor? I'll use that word. Are you a teacher? Are you a ruler in God's church, an elder? How do you rule? By the love of Christ? By this kind of spirit that I see in this passage here? Or do you do it by rank, authoritarianism, title, and office, and so on? Learn from this passage, brother. Copy the apostle. Give up the law method and come into the new covenant method. And believers, can we not exercise this kind of mutual encouragement of each other, getting the best out of each other by putting the best into each other? This mutual sharing, this loving affection, not taking pride in bragging and pushing and shoving, but each esteeming other better than themselves, all patterned on Christ. You know what I'm going to say. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, and that you have love one for another. I see it here. They don't read our confessions. They don't know our theological niceties. They're not impressed by that. But I believe this bitter, grim, lonely, sad, despised, stinking world will be moved if they can see the love of Christ in action. And that's what I see here. I'm rebuked by this passage. I'm challenged by it. I'm encouraged by it. I hope, my brother and sister, you too will feel that you will be moved to do what you can to show the apostolic spirit here, the new covenant spirit. May we live to see better days in the ecclesias, in the churches. Less institutionalism, no institutionalism, but all this new covenant, love, gentleness, tenderness, warmth, Christ-likeness. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well then, let's live it out today, brother and sister. Let's live it out today.